I've anchored in the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice has stilled the waters and bid their tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer, to him I all confide. For always when I need him, he's at my side. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life outbreak. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He is my friend and savior, in him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared. Let's stand. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I'll fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. Goodbye, world. I stay no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasures of sin. I stay no longer with you. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Goodbye. Goodbye, world. I stay no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasures of sin. I stay no longer with you. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Born again. Oh, born, born, born again. Thank God I'm born again. Born, born, born again. Thank God I'm born again. I've been born, born, born again. Thank God I'm born again. I was born, born, born again. Thank God I'm born again. Oh, born of the water, spirit, and the blood. Thank God I'm born again. Born of the water, spirit, and the blood. Thank God I'm born again. Born of the water, spirit, and the blood. Thank God I'm born again. Born of the water, spirit, and the blood. Thank God. Wave goodbye. Goodbye, world. I stay no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasures of sin. I stay no longer with you. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Oh, goodbye, world. I stay no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasure of sin. I stay no longer with you. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. For he is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, he is worthy to be praised. Sing Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation.
rock, hallelujah. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Sing glory, glory to his name. He lives and reigns forevermore. Oh, just sing glory, glory to his name. For he lives and reigns forevermore. Sing Hosanna. Blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Blessed be the, hallelujah, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Jehovah Jireh is his name. I know he provided all my needs. Oh, Jehovah Jireh is his name. Oh, for he provided all my needs. Sing Hosanna. Blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock, hallelujah. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Sing it again. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Amen. Good afternoon. Glad to see everyone with us. Thank y'all. Thank y'all very much. That wasn't me singing. Brother Aaron's got testimony.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord this afternoon. And just want to say thank you for all the prayers. Last few months, I've had some heart palpitations. They just come and go. No, it didn't seem like there was any rhyme or reason to why it was happening. But sometimes it just really drains all your energy out. You don't feel like doing much, and it's been very difficult. And a few weeks ago, I come up here and got a prayer cloth from Brother Wade. We prayed, and I got a prayer cloth and been carrying it with me. But the other day, I went to the urgent care. I didn't sleep at all pretty much that night, like Friday. So I went to the urgent care, and they checked me in. The EKG was good, but with our family history and everything, they wanted me to go to the ER. So Sarah took me to the ER, and so I got to spend about 20 hours in the emergency room. They put you in a little place called EOC, which is Emergency Observation Unit. You just get to hang out in the ER, and they watch you. And they just keep drawing blood, and they kept checking everything, and everything kept coming back fine. The only thing that I had a problem with was my A1C, so my blood sugar was up, and that was the only thing. My cholesterol was 185, so thank the Lord for that. And I do have a heart, and it's working really well, and they didn't see any blockages or any problems with anything in my heart, my chest. Everything looks good. And so the only thing they said was, must be my blood sugar's irritating my heart muscle. And so that must be the only problem that I've got. So y'all just pray for me that I guess I'm going to have to, no more sun drops, I guess. Zach and Lily bring me cherry lemon sun drops from North Carolina because you can't get them just anywhere. So I'm going to cut back on them. But I try to keep everything in moderation, but just thank the Lord that he's brought me this far. And I thank you for all your prayers. And the one thing I wanted to say was last night, or midnight, while everybody else was snoozing, I was preaching. I got to preach to the church in Chennai, India. And but Brother Angelus, the trustee in the church, and I want to thank Brother Luis. I don't know if y'all know this, but Brother Luis has preached for the church in Chennai, India. He preached for them. Brother Angelus, who's a trustee in the church, he works for Lennox. He's an engineer. He's been in the United States before, and that's how Brother Luis met him. And so because they were not able to get visiting ministers to come into India, because of COVID and everything, they started doing everything through the internet. So brothers preach, even a lot of you know Brother Dutch Scott, he's preached for them, and Brother Luis, and then I had the opportunity to preach for them. Wonderful group, and I don't know how to pronounce the brother's name. I just call him Brother Raj. He's the pastor, and he doesn't speak much English, but a lot of the other brothers, there's one of the brothers in the church. He is an English professor, and he does the translating, and just a wonderful group. And when Brother Angelus found out I was in the hospital, the whole church was praying for me. And I didn't know how long they were going to keep me, and it didn't seem like it was, I didn't know. You're just kept in the dark. They just put you in a room, and you see it on one of them little flimsy beds. That I think if I'd have sat in a chair and sat on a baseball bat all night long, I think I might have been more comfortable than a hospital bed. And then people coming in and out and going up and down the hallway, and I mean, I don't know how people expect you to sleep. And then they say, oh, we want to put you on this treadmill, and we want you to run real fast. Like, well, I ain't had no sleep. And it's like, I didn't know if I was going to make it or not, but thank the Lord I got through it. I got my heart rate up to 150, and then they give me the IV injection to see your heart, and they say, okay, run one more minute. That's the longest minute in my life. I was thinking they kept me on that thing for about an hour, but I made it, praise God. But I just want to thank Brother Luis for getting in touch with the brothers over there and them allowing me to preach. But it was wonderful that they were praying. And Brother Raj, they called, Brother Angelus got in touch with the pastor, Brother Raj. And so we don't know if Brother Aaron's going to be able to do it because of him being in the hospital. And the Lord just laid it on his heart. He tried to get a message together, but he couldn't. He said he knew that I would be speaking. And the Lord worked it out where I was able to. So I just thank the Lord. He works out everything. And I just appreciate. We had a good time last night. And so I want to extend all our love and greetings from the believers in Chennai, India. There's multiple churches there in Chennai. It's a large city. It's a very technologically advanced city. And they're very, you know, very intelligent people there. But they love the Word. And one of the two things that they really enjoyed when I was preaching last night, I always said that Brother Dale's always told us, he said, I would much rather, because one of the things, I was talking about the promises of God, and one of the promises of the Bible is the new birth. He said, the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so when I was speaking on that, Brother Dale's always said, he said, I would much rather seek the Holy Ghost every day of my life and realize I've had it the whole time than not seek it at all and get to the end and realize I didn't have it. And I told him, I said, the promise, he said, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. That's a personal promise to you. I said, this message is mine. I said, I don't know if it belongs to you or not, but it belongs to me. It's mine. And Brother Raj got it behind, you know, when he got up after the service, he told me, he said, I really like that. He said, that really spoke to me. He said, because I want you to know that message is mine too. And they were really blessed, and they have a real, Brother Raj has a real burden for the people to receive the new birth, and they've had special meetings just for the sake of the people seeking the Holy Ghost. And so y'all just continue to remember them in prayer, and I appreciate the Lord and appreciate all y'all. God bless you.
Amen. Let's go over the request we had. Remember, we've got a shower after the second service, so remember that. Brother Rhino says, please pray for our friend Jeannie Sturm and her son Tim. Both have health issues. Sister Milka, I had one from this morning. Please remember, still remember her dad. He's been in the hospital. He's out now. He's got to run, get some tests run, so remember that. Sister Barbara Gimme once says, pray for my nephew Isaiah Martin. He gets severe physical symptoms that put him in the hospital three times this month. Doctors are testing, but unsure what it is. Has something like, I can't make that out, but anyway, we know what it is, and the Lord knows who it is and what it is, so just remember that situation as we pray. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this afternoon, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling. Lord, remember the ones that we have mentioned here, Lord. Lord, you know all the needs that everyone needs, Lord, and all the unspoken requests. Be with our services here this afternoon. Be with Wade. Give him strength. Lord, give us the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Most of all, Lord, you forgive us for all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We didn't go over the great September birthdays last week. So we're going to make sure we get it done this month, this Sunday. We might even do it three times today. Here we go. September. Superstar Brother Kern. Superstar right here. Superstar Sister Charlotte. Sister Mary Brewer. Superstar. And the oldest but the best looking one, Sister Cleta Smallwood this month. So we're going to sing some happy birthdays real loud.
Oh, happy birthday. Offerings, lift them up to use your kingdom as you see good need, Lord. We are blessed people and thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will soon find the goodness of God. Though my life you have been faithful, though my life you have been so, so good, with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, your darkest night. You are close.
Good to you this evening.
And all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able,
I will sing of the good. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so.
Sing the song, they will know we are Christians by our love.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand, and together we'll spread the news that God is in our land, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father, from all whom all things will come. And all praise to Christ Jesus, His one and only Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us all as one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. They will know we are Christians by our love. By our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. By our love, they will know we are Christians by our love.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Saint order service. In the eyes of my heart. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Oh Jesus, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Oh Jesus, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up,
shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Today, sing it to him.
Oh, holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy.
Yes, you're
holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, say, God bless you. I see God working in a group of people. Amen. We love you with the love of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you back again. We don't have any visitors. We got everybody here. I appreciate all the prayers. Yesterday we had a good time, like I said, in the prayer service. The prophet of God said what? How to get closer to God? Pray and read your Bible. Boy. And that's hard to do. In this Laodicean age, Satan's going to put something, Brother John. It's going to, like I said back there, Satan's going to put a peg in it. He don't have to put a great big beam. He can just put a little peg in it, and it'll stop you. But we got to make sure we just continue right on, move right on. That's what we were talking about this morning. We got to keep right on. If you know what, one of my great sayings is lead, follow, or get out of the way. So lead, follow, or get out of the way. Get me out of the way, Lord. Get me out of the way so that we can all move up, that we can all go higher in God. Don't we want more of God? I want less of my problems and more of my God. Amen. I hope you all want that. More, less of my problems and more of God. Well, how are you going to do that? It's not going to be that he's just going to, you know, just say, this is it. No, this is just a more than human effort. It's not just all human effort. Yes, we have to put forth a human effort, but it's, you know what? It's what you do with God. We'll read it in just a little while. It's your attitude toward God. Because when Jesus had virtue, there was a woman touched his garment and she got what she needed. But there was a Roman soldier hit him in the face and beat him and all those other things, and there was no virtue. Amen. It's the way you approach God. Amen. And that's why that we try to be reverent. That's why we do different than denominational churches. You go to a denominational church and it's basically just like a lodge. Everybody just converses and back and forth, and you just talk about this and talk about the ball game and everything else. And all of a sudden, a few minutes before service, everybody kind of migrates to a seat and sits down. There's no praying, there's no studying, there's no asking God to come in the building with us. We don't do that. We come in and we become reverent. We get where we can talk to God and where it's a where it's a conversation that's not muddled with everything else. But it's a conversation that we can talk to the Almighty. I'm glad we can talk to an eternal person. I'm glad we can talk to a God that created everything. Never made a mistake. Never going to make a mistake. Never had a new thought. Never going to change his mind. He's never going to say, oh, man, shouldn't have done that. I need to do something different. No, he did it right the first time. We just got to, what? Conform to that image. Not conform to our own image. Conform to that image. By what? By the renewing of our mind. Let me read you a quote here, Brother Bram, on Statue of Perfect Man. He says, we're not building an organization. I read it this, or kind of quoted it this morning. I'm not here this morning to build an organization. Christ never sent me. Now, boy, that's a pretty bold statement. Christ never sent me to build an organization. Christ sent me to build individuals to the stature of Jesus Christ, that they might be the powerhouse. Wow. And the dwelling place of the Spirit by His Word. Amen. By His Word, see, build up the individual to that place. Yes. Not build an organization to a greater denomination, but build the individual to sons and daughters of God. That's the idea. Add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge. Well, now you're coming to a place. Amen. Well, now, Poker Word Church, we're coming to a place. Amen. We've been talking about the new birth. I want you to make sure you got it and listen this afternoon. When we get finished with this service, I'm going to read these names. I'm going to have you seated. And if I miss somebody, raise your hand because I want to call every name. Now, if some of you are sitting in this building that's on this list, you need to get born again. I'm sorry. I'm bold. All right. If it's on this list, I believe God inspired me to write every one of these names down. Then, you know, we need a checkup time. Amen. I'd rather like Brother Bob, you know, or whoever said this morning, said, I'd rather go all my life seeking God. Brother Aaron. I'd rather go all my life seeking God every day. That's why I said I die daily. I pick up my cross. I want to try to do better than to come down to the end of the road and say, well, I thought I had it. I came to church. I got this feeling one time. No, it's got to be an experience. As I've said before, I love what Brother Keith Reed says. It's an experience in that Jamaican language, the King's English. It's an experience. Amen? And we all got to have one. We all got to have. Listen, you're going to have an experience here, or you're going to have one there. Right? And now, if you wait till over there, it might not be a good one. But you're going to have an experience here or there. Here, the throne of grace. There, the white throne judgment. And there's nobody can help you. Here, we can get help. Ministers, brothers, we can help. We can bind together. But when you go to that white throne judgment, you're going to stand by yourself. And you're going to be judged by what? Your works. And I do not ever want to be judged by just my works. Amen. I want to put my faith in that, what I was talking about this morning, in that deity, in that gold. I want that deity to cover me. Amen. Deity dedicated to death. So let's bow our heads. Well, let me get finished with this. Remember Brother Luis. Remember today after the second service, immediately after the second service, we'll go downstairs and we'll have a shower for Zach and Lily. Zach said he has not taken his yet. So I'm just telling you what he said. He said, I ain't took my shower yet, so we're going to give him a shower. Believe you me, buddy. If somebody picks you up and takes you outside, you're going to get a shower. So Wednesday night, Brother Bob will be speaking for us. Keep him in your prayer. This coming Saturday at 3 o'clock. We also need to discuss that while we're downstairs filling our face with cake. I'll be asking around because June has got a show that weekend, and also I think she's got to take the Reeds back to the airport Saturday morning, so she will be out of service for this, so we need some of you other sisters to step up, and I know you will. And remember, Ronnie Long will be here that weekend. We're only going to have one service on Sunday, though, one service Sunday morning. If we have enough food left over, we could eat that afternoon, but we'll see and let you know Sunday. Also, RSVP to that wedding that we're going to have on November the 6th. Please let everybody know or let them know if you're going to be here or not. So let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this people that you've put here. Lord, I praise you that you put me in front of this group of people. The purchase of your possession, Lord. Lord, one of the greatest things is to look into the eyes of another Christian and then see those eyes light up when you bring a revelation to their heart. And Lord, to see that their lives are changed. And as we said before, using Brother Boyd as an example, that we don't do those things no more. What a great relief. What a great God that we serve that's not just patches it up and says, well, I'll just hide it. No, you take it away. You eradicate it from our life. And Lord, I pray that as we move up this statue of a perfect man, that you'll take all the, even the little things. The Bible said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that we need to work on, Lord. And as we work on them, Lord, it'll bind us together more as a church. It'll bind us together more as Christians. And I believe that you'll work more among your people when that is free, when that freedom has been given for you to flow through this service from the songs all the way to the worship service, Lord. As we sing the songs, flow through me, flow through me. Lord, send your spirit to flow through us all today, Lord. May we get something from you today, Lord. Just bless each one. Be with us, Lord, as we continue on this journey. The ones that are sick, be with Brother Luis as they're traveling back from Beaufort, South Carolina. That you'll bless them, Lord. Bless their car. They've been having a little bit of issues with it, Lord. I pray that you'd bless that vehicle. That it'll not give them any trouble, Lord. Let them get home safely. Father, just be with us. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you know, I've read this, 50, 60 times now, and it just really doesn't get old. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's read 1 Thessalonians, and you can be seated. Every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now you may be seated, and the Lord has blessings to the reading of the Word. Romans 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world. As we were talking this morning, we have been so much programmed by this world. This world has programmed us into doing things sometimes we don't even want to do. Everybody with me, say amen. There's a lot of things you do and you say, why did I do that? Well, you've been what? You've been conformed into something, a human to begin with, a fallen human, with what? With things that are contrary to everything up here. At first, you didn't want to be godly, but it requires that we become have godliness. Amen? Patience. Have you seen a worse group of patient people in this world as of right now? They'll flip you off in a heartbeat. Amen? And do you ever flip? No, I'm not going to ask that question. So anyway, but do you want to? I'm going to read you something next Sunday. No, the next time. I pulled up the word virtuous. You look up the word virtuous. And Brother Bram, that's what I said before. You may be the most virtuous person in your flesh you've ever been in your life. But you can send people to hell by the way you dress or the way you act. So which is more important? We need to dress right, talk right, act right. Amen? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sister Cleet and I were talking just a few minutes ago, and you look at Brother Branham, and you know Brother Billy Paul said the greatest thing about his dad was, now look, his dad was a great man. There's a lot of great things he did. But what Billy Paul said was the greatest thing he saw in his dad that was just like awe-inspired is that he loved the ones that hated him as much as he loved the ones that loved him. Couldn't tell who his enemies were or who his friends were. And he had discernment to where when somebody hugged his neck, he felt the knife. He knew they were going to betray him. But yet he still did what? I love you, brothers. I love you, sisters. What if he knew that those 300 preachers that said, we're coming down to be baptized, we're going to accept that Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ baptism, we're coming down. Not one of them came. He may have known that, but you know what? He was, the next sermon he preached, he said, we're waiting on them 300 people to come down and get baptized. Amen? So that's the way we have to be. We have to be that way. We can't do it under condition. But we're going to get to that in godliness and brotherly kindness. But that's got to be a renewing of your mind. Because like I said this morning, somebody cuts you off on the highway. Boy, it gets quiet when you start talking about driving. When you start talking about driving down a road and somebody cutting you off, it gets real quiet because everybody's like, he's fixing to call me out. But then after, and listen, I had to ask God to forgive. Hello, somebody. I had to ask God to forgive me the other day because you know what? There was somebody passed me in the mail truck. I didn't say anything. I just sped up. I'm here at confessional. I just sped up. He finally passed me, but it was a little bit difficult. But I stopped that van and I said, God, forgive me. I won't do that no more. I won't do that no more. Forgive me. That's nothing you should not do. Let them go on. Forget about it. I let them big old trucks. Where's Timbo at? Timbo knows that 323 down through there is just, I mean, it's big truck highway. And so when I see them coming, I just get off the side of the road and let them go. Because I'm not going to mess with them big old vehicles. That is a $70,000 or $80,000 missile coming at you. And you don't want that thing to hit you. All right? But the same thing with the Word of God, same way. Now, see, that camp, if I would have been just a rank sinner, I'd have just said, you know, and I'd have went on, and the next day I'd have done the same thing, and the next day I did the same thing. But God brought it to my attention. That's what God's doing now. He's bringing things to our attention now that maybe we didn't think of before, but he's bringing them to our attention more now than ever before. The little things that you have to say I'm sorry for. The little foxes is what spoils the vine. Amen? But the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what the will of God is? It's his word. So in the beginning was the word was God, word was God, and the word was made flesh. You and I, the word being made flesh now in the end time, Jesus' flesh is not going to be on this earth until the millennium. Amen? So that's what we were Brother Dale and I were talking about the other day. And he reminded me, and I need to bring it out now. I was going to bring it out a little bit later, but since he brought it out, I know it needs to be brought out now. Because we talked about justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. Everybody with me? All right, the three stages of grace are to get born again. But remember, the prophet of God brings in a fourth. Justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. Now we're talking about the Word. The Word being made flesh. The Word being what? Put into motion or into action. So it's after you get born again, you've got that fourth stage, which is four is the number of man, but who's getting born again? Man. Amen? On the fourth seal, we're leaving this place. Amen? So the fourth seal is a rapture seal. And you and I got to get ready under that fourth seal. We got to get ready under the Word of God being made flesh in me and you so that we can call for a body change. It's not going to be called by trees and drums. No, it's going to call by human beings. With power, with character. Not power without character. Remember, power without character makes you zap your boss out of existence or somebody going down the road. If God give you the power, unlimited power, could you imagine? Well, some of you are imagining wrong things right now. Yeah. Okay? Boy, first thing I'd do is that cousin that everybody talks about. No, you pray for that first cousin that everybody talks about, that we all talk about. Everybody's got one. Everybody's got a first cousin that everybody knows that first cousin but don't know you. Yeah, I know. Jim Dale's one of ours, so bless his heart. But you pray for people. Don't condemn them. All right, so here we go. 1 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Look, we've got to have the same faith as the fathers did in the beginning. Peter, James, John, amen. Paul. We got to have that same faith.
Amen.
And that same, listen, and they worked under, let me get this right now, they worked under the three, not the four. Because the fourth comes into a body change. It brings the word into manifestation. Sure, they manifested the word for their day.
Right, right.
But you and I, and that was under the first three ages, our justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because remember, they had the word, but they didn't have the seals opened up. They didn't have the correct understanding of everything. Is everybody with me?
Right.
All right? They didn't have the open book. You and I have the open book. To me, that's the word. That's number four is the open book. All right? The open book brings us to a place to where nobody else has been before. And it doesn't make our head swell. It makes us humble that God would tell a group of people like us that this is what we got to live under now. It's not just the Holy Ghost. It's got to live under the Holy Ghost plus. Because look, there at the top of that pyramid, it says Holy Spirit. That's not when you get the Holy Ghost. But that's when that Holy Ghost seals you as a unit. I'll read it to you maybe. I think I may have it in this one. But who have obtained like precious faith with us. So listen, we can't be contrary to Paul. We can't be contrary to Peter. That's why the world, listen to me, the world is contrary to Peter. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. They said, men and brethren, what can we do to be saved? He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The world's not doing that. You and I are. So now we are in the furrow. We're in the right furrow. We're in the right ground. So that the word can what? Word on top of word. Word on top of word. All right? Everybody with me?
Amen.
Through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, that was a powerful group of people in those first three church ages. A lot of mighty miracles happened. Just in the shadow of the disciples came healing. What about me and you? We've got to have the full word to where even the shadow that we cast brings a body change.
Amen.
Can't do it, Brother Wade. Well, no, you can't. But God can. Through you. Because he's not going to do it any other way. He's going to do it through somebody. He's going to do it through a human being. So just believe it's you. That's when we get back to faith. You got to have faith that you can do it.
That's right.
Grace and peace be multiplied in you through the knowledge of God and our Savior, or Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto these us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world through lust. The reason I stop there is because that's one stage. Peter's telling us the divine nature of God. That's one stage we got to come to, which is the birth.
Amen.
If we don't make it to the birth, forget about these other virtues.
Amen.
Down here.
Right.
Everybody with me, okay?
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
So look, but then the birth, we have the birth, and then you take the baby and throw him in a closet. No. He just has begun his life.
Yes.
But you've got to nurture him just like God nurtures you. You nurture your baby. Little Cambry back there, she's what? How many months? Hold your fingers up. 6, 7 months. Now, she can't walk. She's got two legs. She's got every faculty she needs to walk with. But she can't walk. Why? She's not developed yet. You and I have not developed yet. I'm sorry. We haven't. But we're developing. We're working toward that. She's not going to have to take this new medicine. She's not going to have to take some new drug, or she's going to have to. No, she's going to eat. Just eat. And Zach holds her fingers, and, you know, she gets strength in her legs, and she begins to do this. And don't you remember when those kids were like that? You say, "Watch my kid walk," and you put him like this, and he goes, "Pow." Remember, another life lesson. If you want your kid to do something cute that he's always done at home, don't put him in a crowd. Say something, Johnny. Walk, Johnny. Your kids will absolutely embarrass you if you don't watch it. Even at 30. But that's the way we grow. We grow as we see these babies grow, as we see the teenagers grow, as we see, you know, you look at Monique. There's Monique. The first time we met her, she just say, you know, talk a little bit, you know, led her around by the hand, you know, didn't let her go. Now she's living in Canada. Why, I don't know. She had to fly all, I'm bringing this out, I'm doing it, flew all over the top of us. Preach, brother. Right over the top of us to get to Canada. Then they locked her in that country for 2 years. And her poor mom and daddy, getting old and gray-headed, couldn't get to them. When she could have went, poop, United States, right here, Lulu, Georgia, poop, right here. Hello, somebody. And her poor mom and daddy could come visit and only be an hour and a half flight. I don't understand these things. Lord works in mysterious ways. But she developed. She can drive now. Danielle, she can drive too. She was showing me a picture a little bit ago yesterday about, I mean, they're from Jamaica. Okay. A cool day is 85. And she shows me a picture of her digging her car out of the snow. Digging her car. Could not see the tires. Am I telling one? Could not see the tires. That's how deep the snow was. She said she would trade sand or snow for sand any day. But she moved. She got older. She got out of the nest. She grew up. She was able to now provide for herself. When she was very dependent on her mom and daddy for so many years. Same way with God. We depend on God for a lot of things, but one day he's going to say, look, grow up. In other words, he said, look, kid, I have given you every provision you need to become a mature Christian, and what are you doing with it? Amen. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, leaving your mom and daddy. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Look, and this will we do if God permit. Now, us living under the open book, God has permitted now that everything we need, there is no hold to anything. There is no chain locking us to anything. We have an open book. Amen. Which takes us right to the future home. Well, I was talking to one of them, I think it was Monique, about the future home. That book, no, Sister Kalita, that book, that's why I love that book. It takes us from your birth, natural and spiritual, to your walk with God, redemption of you and your body, redemption of this earth, and takes you to your future home. Man, what else do you want? Amen. That's the whole plan of redemption. In one little book. What a beautiful picture it is today of a consecrated life who once entered in with Christ, dead to the things of the world. Hid away with God, the veils dropped down around him, all the worlds shut off. Then Christianity and religion becomes a pleasure to every believer. Today people just have enough religion to make them miserable. That's what we're talking about. You see people that are just miserable. Why? They're caught between the two. You can't be caught between the two. You know who owns the in-between? Satan owns that in-between. Amen? He owns the fence. If you sit on the fence today, Satan owns what your rear end's sitting on. Well, I don't know. You better figure out something real quick. Knowing that you ought not do this, you're trying to escape hell. Well, if that's the way I felt about it, brother, I don't know what I'd do. So now this is what we're looking at, this whole picture. If you look over there to the side, Brother Bob did a, I was trying to think of a word to say, but that special anointing is good enough for me. You see up there at the top where it says down at the bottom where we are beginning right here in our new birth, that's the three stages. And that fourth stage that Brother Dale was talking about, myself, is all that that goes up there with it. Come on the fourth seal, we're going to take a rapture. All right, so we got to come all the way up to here. That headstone has got to come back on the church before we can take a body change. So look, you can't do this. You can't do this and then jump to that. Process we got to go through. Your journey of getting virtue, knowledge, are getting these virtues of God, which we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. Jesus said, he that loveth his father and mother more than me. Now look, that's the headstone talking to us. That's the head man. That's the creator. That's God telling you what you got to do. And do we do it? Our choice. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. I'm reading. That's red letter. I didn't make it red letter, but that's red letter. Just Jesus talking to his disciples. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. We're going to call these names of sons and daughters and family members, but they're not one of them going to stop me from going to heaven except me. I'm the only one that's going to stop me from going. Amen. So you can't blame it. That's what Jesus is really saying. He's a little, you can't blame mom and daddy. You can't blame your children. You got to blame yourself. He that taketh not his cross, boy, makes it personal, and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Listen, we're not worthy to be a Christian if we don't have him inside of us. That's why it's sometimes, you know, I get aggravated, all right? You get aggravated, I get aggravated too. I get aggravated with people that try to tell me something about the church or how to do this or how to do that, and they ain't even born again. Aaron's shaking his head and smiling. How silly is that? I'm not going to listen to somebody that's unregenerated tell me how to run the church. Not happening. Brother Dale never put up with it. You know what he'd say? Go back and get born again. Come back and we'll talk about it. Oh, boy, that's hard. No, it ain't hard. That's what Jesus is saying. Forsake father, mother, sister, brother, whatever your opinion is. You got to take what I said. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. And I'll take correction, but I'm not going to take it from somebody that don't ever come to church. And how do you take correction from somebody that don't even know about God? Hello, somebody. Don't talk to me about that. That's what Jesus was telling them. Don't talk to me about this stuff. Take up your cross and follow me. I don't have to conform to what you're talking about. But see, you and I have to conform to that image. But once we do, listen, we got to come to a place, like Brother Brown said, we got to come into speaking condition, like Brother Keith was talking about when he was here. Well, what is speaking condition? I have to ask God for permission? Nope. Oh, that's too far. No, it ain't far enough. When you become to where you won't zap your boss out of existence, or the guy that passes you on the wrong side of the road, or somebody crosses you, you don't look at him and go, out of existence, out of existence. No. Your attitude's changed. You've took up your cross. You've died. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. That's what everybody wants to do. They want to figure out a way to save themselves. You can't save yourself. A doctor can't save you. Praise God. Right, Aaron? They're still in the practice of practicing. My physician, he's a great one. He's a great one. He's not a practicer. He doesn't have a practice. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. 1 Corinthians says, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus, I die daily. Daily. We can't give up. We can't let one thing get in front of us. You say it's humanly impossible. God said all things are possible to them that believe. Well, we've been in this message for a long time, and they just ain't really a whole lot happened, and you know, it's just get worse every day, and can't get the Lord to answer none of my prayers. And I read you a quote. I think I read it last Sunday where Brother Brown says, what are you going to do if you've done everything you can do and God doesn't answer your prayer? You got to stand there. You got to stand right there. You got to stand there and you got to let God do it the right way. The problem is we want to get we involved. We want to have something to do with it. Did we change ourselves? No. God changed us. By the renewing of our mind, by listening to the prophet of God, by listening to the fivefold ministry, we are coming to a place of transformation. Yes, that he's transforming us into what? His image, not the world's image. Amen. All right? His image. Yes, sir. Listen, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I pulled up a quote a few minutes ago. It's not on there. Just don't pull it up, but you remember it because we've quoted it so many times. Brother Brown says, look, this book is going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. This book can't be revealed to anyone but a special class of people. It will take one with prophetic insight. Let that ring into your head. Prophetic insight. Oh, that was for Brother Branham. No, it's for me and you. It will require the ability to hear from God. It will require supernatural instruction. Amen. Not just comparing a student, comparing verse with verse, though that is good. But a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit or it never becomes clear. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that you should show forth. Listen, everything of this journey, everything of this walk, everything of this statue of perfect man is to show who? You? No, God. Amen. And that he can do it. Because listen, we live in a time where I've told you before, you start witnessing to people. Telling them to be therefore perfect and all these things. I ain't perfect. You ain't perfect. I ain't perfect. I can still cuss a little bit and Jesus told us to be perfect. Okay? So he's got to make a way. If he does it, he's got to make a way for it to happen. Amen? If he says you can jump through that wall, it's like the man said. He said, it ain't me to make the wall. He said, God to make a hole if he wants me to go through that wall. But listen, God's give us the word. He's give us the open book. So now we can go through the wall. That we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen? That's why an unregenerated person can't talk to you about the word of God. And can't correct you. Because they have no mercy. They're under judgment. Think about that. They're under judgment. They're not under grace. They're under judgment. So guess what they're going to meet? They're going to meet judgment. M-E-T-E, not M-E-E-T. They're going to meet out justice. Because they've never shown mercy, been shown to them. Think about that. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. There's the battle. having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by their good works, that may by your good works, which they shall behold, which they shall see, which you shall testify, glorify God in the day of visitation. Is this not the day of visitation? Amen. This is the day that God is visiting this earth. Amen. He might be sending investigating angels, but He sent you.
Yes.
He sent the Holy Ghost through your eyes to look at this world, not to pass judgment at this moment. Because remember, we pass judgment when we go there. But remember, they are temporarily judged now by what they do to you. But they're going to meet it over there.
Amen?
Glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. In other words, your general life. For so is the will of God that with well-doing, well-doing, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish man. One more time. That you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Thank God. He's going to put them to silence, but He's going to do it through you. The ignorance. Listen, it's not bad to be ignorant. Ignorant means you just don't know. But if you stay ignorant, it turns into stupid. Amen? Everybody with me? Ignorance is not bad. People are ignorant. But listen, you can be ignorant of your own self. You can make yourself ignorant. I don't want to hear that anymore. So, it is what it is. Oh, I hate that. Oh, you know that. They say it all the time at work now. I should have never told them that. That's like y'all giving me Cracker Barrel gift cards. Why does he stand by? The reason is Romans 8, verse 17 through 18. Everything tastes the same in Cracker Barrel. I'm sorry. I do like their breakfast. And I do like their roast that somebody had today during eating today and didn't offer me any. And if children, then heirs. Brotherly kindness. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Monica's a good cook, and I really enjoy smelling her food. Because that's about all I get is to smell her food. If so be that we why suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy. You are going through stuff, right? We're going through stuff. Everybody, Aaron's going through stuff in his body. I'm going through stuff in my body. Got to go have an MRI done. My nerves feel, not my nerves, but my nerve endings feel like they're just on fire. Anybody ever had a TENS unit? You know what a TENS unit is? It's that thing you put on. It's got a battery and it pulsates electrical shock, 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 shock. Well, that's happening to me right now. So we're going to have to go find out what's going on. So just pray for us. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. I was thinking yesterday, I said, what in the world of me to be able to say that? Here stands Ron Spencer preaching every weekend, every special meeting. He's rolling around in the floor. If you saw him up at the youth at the camp in Ruth. He's rolling around the floor with stage 4 cancer. He's got tumors on his brain. He's got tumors in his lung. And he takes chemo and he has to stop and throw up on the side of the road before he goes to church. And he stands and preaches. I ain't got nothing wrong with me, folks. You ain't got nothing wrong with you either. Amen? But God puts that in there to show you that he can do it. Character is a victory, not a gift. If it was just a gift, it'd just be passed out to wherever. But no, character is what? Power is given. Look, character is a victory. It's a winning of a war. Not just a giving, like I said before. We're not on a cruise ship. We're not getting shrimp and grits and what we call some kind of, what is that? Chocolate bar. Getting a chocolate bar. Jenny loved chocolate, and she had a chocolate bar. That's why we got the cruise ship we got on, because they had a big chocolate bar. Doesn't matter if they had a hole in the boat or anything, we just had a chocolate bar. And it ran 24-7, and it just ran in the hallway down in, you know, it kind of rotated around, and she stuck everything but her own self underneath that thing. So we're not on a cruise ship. We're on a battleship. We're in the battlefield. We got boots on the ground, and that is a little bit funny, but still, it's not so much that we don't realize that we're not in that part. That's not the Christian part. Is to have, you know, whatever you. I just love this. My favorite preacher. I'll come visit him, but I won't. Anyway, a man without character can't reign because power apart from character is satanic.
Amen.
Brother Joe gave me something back here a few minutes ago, and I'm going to use it later on. But remember, Lucifer was created perfect. Because it says, look, power apart from character is satanic. That's capital S.
Right.
So he's talking about the devil himself. Chief demon, not right. The imps, not the second in command, talking about the devil.
Right.
All right? But now remember, when he was given an opportunity, we read in Scripture in the Old Testament where he was given an opportunity. You were created equal. You were created perfect. Right? You were created perfect until iniquity was found in you. And if you'll look, we'll bring it up later, but I just to show you, Lucifer had these covering stones almost like the covering stones of the cherubs. Three of them were left out. The three that were left out was overcoming power, life, and a servant living for others. Those three things Satan can't do. You know what he can't overcome? Himself. Just like me and you. Isn't that our trait when we become satanic or we become our own person? We can't overcome us. The overcoming power comes from Jesus Christ because he can overcome what? What? Not my will, but by thy will be done. Father, forgive him. As they were driving the nails and sticking the thorns in his head. Forgive him, Lord, for what they're doing. Can we do that? Or do we say, curse them, Lord? Because power without character is satanic. Satan had power. Read over in Ezekiel or somewhere, you know, he was the anointed cherub. He was given this opportunity. He was the worship angel. He was the one that was the greatest angel beside God. He just couldn't create. Satan couldn't overcome that. He wanted to be a creator. He wanted to do that. Let me do that. God said, you stay in your place, I'll stay in mine. I'm God, I created you, don't you forget that. But he couldn't, but look, power with character. Power with these working in your life will give you what? Overcoming victory. Fit to rule, and since he wants to share even his throne on the same basis that he overcame and is set down in his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. And the little temporary sufferings we go through now is not worthy to be compared, wowsy, wowsy, woo, to the tremendous glory that we were revealed in us when he comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter, willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. Listen, you ever get to the point in your journey to where you say, why do I have to give X, whatever your X is, why do I have to give X up? Somewhere in the Bible it'll tell you if it's against the Word of God. Because you've come to a realization that maybe that's not what's in the Word of God. You got to give that up.
Right.
If you give that up, then what you've done, you've overcome.
Right.
And now you have power with character. You have power with these virtues.
Right.
Listen, Jesus was the Creator God wrapped in human flesh. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Brother Branham said he could have changed the situation at Calvary.
Right.
Move one finger. You know what? He could have just thought in his mind,
absolutely,
angels, I need you. Brother Brown said thousands, hundreds of thousands. He said they'd have wiped the world off. He never thought that. Never thought that. In the hour that he could have showed his power. In the hour he could show his greatness. Because Caiaphas is standing there going, oh, he's hollering and screaming and all this, that if he was God, he'd come down off that cross and save us. He can't even save himself. Well, amen. That's exactly right. He had come to save himself. He came to save you.
Amen.
He came to save you and me. He came to save, he tried to save Caiaphas. Amen? So there was power. You look on the cross. I've always seen the cross as the most powerful thing God ever done. And it's the most powerful thing that when we believe on the cross, it's power. It's the power of God unto salvation. Because he was in complete control. You say, no, it looks like, man, he was naked. And they put thorns in him. They put nails in him. They beat him. Why? And he wasn't in control. Yes, he was. Brother Branham said they put a thing around his eyes and hit him on the head and said, who did that? He said he could have told them. He could have exerted his power and said, y'all can't touch me. I've got legions of angels that's just waiting. That's just waiting on me to just move a finger. But he did. He died for me and you. He died so he can come back and get inside of me and you. And then we got to portray that same character. Not any of us has been nailed to a cross. Not any of us has been beat beyond pulp. It looked like a piece of hamburger meat, right? We've never been so betrayed that we were the only person in a situation. He was the only person at Calvary. Not one person was for him. They all scattered and ran. What about me and you? Brother Brown, anointed one's end time, said, I wasn't the one that appeared down in the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. Look how humble that is. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. He didn't know those people. You saw the prayer line a few minutes ago on the screen. I don't know you. And I read a quote the other day or this morning where he said, my mouth will go numb. He said, I yield myself so much. I'll try to bring it back again. He said, I yield myself so much to God. He said, my mouth goes numb and I don't know what I'm saying. Because remember, a lot of times he'll say, I don't know what I said, but it's got to be the truth. Amen. Boy, what confidence he had. I don't know what I said, but it's got to be the truth. Wow. He was so in control of that voice. Well, guess what? Well, that was just for a prophet, Brother Wade. Okay. That gift right there was just for Brother Branham. But you and I, aren't we supposed to be the mouthpiece of God?
Absolutely.
Aren't we supposed to be the final voice to the final age? Under our messenger, that God will speak through me and you, just like he spoke through the prophet.
Yes.
Prophetic people with prophetic utterance. What is utterance? Coming out of your mouth. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to. That he spoke through. It's not me. It wasn't the seventh angel. Oh no. It was the manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The angel was not the Son of Man. He was the messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He is the one that you're feeding on. Read it this morning. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. When I saw that body word, that picture came. Because that's the body. That's the body of God. On the earth today, that's the body of Christ. So that's what we're feeding on. You know what? We're feeding on each other. Hello, somebody. We're feeding on each other. On the unfailing body word. Not on the Son of God. Of the Son of Man. God in human flesh.
Amen.
Blasphemous name, 1962. Brother Brown said, now, Brother Brown, should we speak with tongues? Absolutely. That's gifts of God. But those gifts of God, speaking in tongues, all the different gifts he's talking about, nine spiritual gifts, without these virtues. So see, these virtues are tied to love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or faith, wisdom, speaking in tongues, the nine spiritual gifts, and the different things. They're tied to it. Everybody with me? Look, they're tied to it. But these gifts, without these virtues in them, make a stumble or a stumbling block to the unbeliever. It's not accepted by God. The prophet of God knew that because when he was a young man, remember he went into that meeting. This one was speaking in tongues. This one was interpreting. That was a gift of God. And he said it was correct. He said, my little gift of discernment, he said, I could tell that it was true. That the Holy Ghost fell on this man, he spoke in tongues. Holy Ghost fell on this man, he interpreted. Right? But when he met him and shook their hand, this man was living a good Christian life. This man was living with another woman. In adultery. Power without character is satanic. This has to be first. And when you have faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, then the Holy Ghost comes down and seals you as a unit. That's where a lot of people get their brain all flipped up about it. Well, you got to do all that before you get the Holy Ghost. No, you got the Holy Ghost. But then you've got more power than you had before. You've got more dunamis. You've got more word that you can what? You can handle it. Sister Cleet and I were talking in between services. How in the world could you be like William Branham? Talk about power with character. He knew your very thoughts. He knew who was agreeing with him and who wasn't. He knew who was talking behind his back. He knew they had talked about him in a certain place. You were over here the other day talking about me. And God showing him all that stuff. And he said one time, he said, I had to pinch myself. I don't know if I'm in this dimension or if I'm in this dimension. This one now or in another dimension. He'd be looking at somebody and he'd discern them. Well, right over here over their shoulder, there'd be a little TV screen open up. I see you and a doctor. He's got on a blue coat. All right, okay. He got on a blue coat. It was a couple of years ago. You were sitting on the duofold. You were hurting. Well, he was watching the whole video. He was watching it. Boy, talk about Wi-Fi. I don't know what his gig speed, but I'll guarantee it's a lot faster than ones we're dealing with right now. I'll promise you that. Because it brought it from eternity all the way back in here and brought it and said, hey, I saw you. Brother Dow, we'll shake hands again. You know what? You know why he prophesied that? Because he saw it. Remember what Brother Brown said? He said Lazarus, he said he had a vision before that Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead. He said, that's why he said, hey, come on, we'll get there in a little while. He was going to prove who he was. He was the resurrection and the life. Then the Holy Ghost comes down and seals you what? As a unit. The same as he seals the church ages as a unit. The way he makes his bride is the way he makes his individual. Made out of the same material like Eve was made out of Adam. A rib from the side. Here is the thing that you have to have first. You can't impersonate them. You can't imitate them. They've got to be God sent and God born. Imitation only causes confusion. And that's what we've been in for 60 years. We've been in confusion. Everybody's trying to imitate this. I've got this, I've got that. You need to do this, you need to listen to this, you need to listen to that. Where's Richard Roberts? Richard Roberts. These quotes came from what you said several years ago. Richard comes down here, marries my lovely sister, and he said, Daddy started preaching on Statue of Perfect Man. What'd you say, Richard? I didn't know this was required. When it's plain right here, I'm going to read you four quotes where Brother Ram said, this is a requirement. Now listen, if you go to school, yeah. All right, you go to school, what it's required that you take certain courses. Right. If you don't take them, what happens? As Granny used to say, you don't graduate. Graduate. You ain't going to graduate. Because it's a requirement. Somebody has told you or put it in a curriculum that this is important. This is what you got to have to progress in your human life. Right, Danielle? Right, Monique? You got to take certain courses. Now, Herb want to be a, and she is a clinical psychologist. A what? Addiction counselor. At a jail. Yeah. She makes hardened criminals cry. But did you just get that degree? They just mailed it to you, didn't they? It just, you know, no, you had to go to what? Required courses. Right? You had to go to required courses to be what she is. She didn't take horticulture. Everybody with me? So why do we waste our time on all this other stuff? We got our curriculum right. Our curriculum has been told to us by the Bible and given it to us by the prophet's message of what's required for us to do in this age. Everybody with me? And that's the way God does the church. He beats every creed, every denomination, every man-made dogma until he sees his own life reflecting in you. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. See? If what is purposed to the church, the life that was in Christ, isn't reflecting in you, don't you stand still if you haven't got patience, virtue, all these things, temperance, godliness, and brotherly kindness, and all these things that's required of you.
Amen.
So it's a requirement.
Amen.
Everybody in the message wants to go around them. Yeah. Oh, we're headstone people. Yeah, you headstone people, all right. If you don't get the right revelation, they're going to put a headstone at the end of your grave. I don't want that kind of headstone. Required. I put that in big letters so y'all can see it. It's required of you. And I'm going to read you another one, The Influence Another, 1962. I want you to go to your Sunday school if you have one. But if you have no Sunday school, you'd like to come with us. I want to speak to you this morning. He's talking about the statue of a perfect man. And shows God's what? Requirements. And how we come to the perfect stature of a perfect man before God.
Amen.
Now, in the statue of perfect man, 1962. I like the way that's stated right there because my whole subject this morning is based on faith. Let me read that again. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice he is saying that I have obtained this faith. Peter is. And I'm addressing this to them that have obtained like precious faith. I want it's not to the outside world. Go to work tomorrow, for those of you that do. Go to work tomorrow. Start talking about your guy that's right beside of you about the stature of a perfect man. How that you're supposed to be perfect before God and he's made a way to do it. Yeah, that conversation will be about that short. I got to go get some coffee, that guy says, and he never returns. But it's not to the outside world. This is to the church.
Amen.
Those that are in Christ. That's what I said before. Power without character is satanic.
Yes.
But power with character, those that are in Christ, you better listen to them.
Amen.
Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and through Jesus Christ our Lord. According as his divine power. I'm reading all this that Brother Bram's reading. Unto all things his divine power now has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. Now watch, Brother Bram said, now let that soak real deep now. Not preaching this morning, we just teaching this lesson, divine nature. Let me read that fourth verse again so you won't miss it. Whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. Look, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See? The world. We've escaped that now. He's addressing this to the church. That's why we're here this morning, is to find out what is the way, what is God's... One more time. Requirement. There's not a person in here that loves God but wants to become more like Christ. Look, I like what he said. Now it's laid out here. It's laid out here. Every Christian. How are we going to get it? He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. I know that's hard for people to swallow. But it's in the Bible. For the perfecting of the saints, you'll not get perfected without a fivefold ministry. I'm sorry. You can listen to tapes all your life, and you might die and go by the grave, but you will not get perfected, I'll promise you, without a fivefold ministry, without somebody looking you in the face and talking to you every Sunday. That's thus saith the Lord. That's thus saith the Bible. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What's negative about all that? Nothing. That's all positive.
Amen.
Till we all come to the unity of the faith.
Amen.
Boy, that ain't happening. and of the knowledge of the Son of God, what? Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children.
Yes.
Amen.
Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They are going to try. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, look, fitly joined together.
Amen.
Everything together, no gaps. And compacted. Remember, if there's a gap, that's where the devil's at. Hello, somebody. That's where the gap is. That's where the devil's at. If there's one little place, one little crack, he's going to put himself into that crack. And compacted by that which every joint supplies. When I read that, I remember when we worked for a chicken plant, we had a compactor. If anybody's ever worked in trash and stuff, but we had just tons of garbage boxes and stuff. But we had a compactor. And you put like 500 boxes, and it would be enough to fill this pulpit. And by the time it got done, it was a neat little stack about like this. Banded together with steel or metal because it was compacted. Listen, there was no way you could put your finger through a crack.
Amen.
That's the way this is.
Right. Right.
He's taking all this whole word of God and he's compacting it down into me and you.
Right.
According, look, by which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body. I don't see why people don't understand this is not required. Unto the edifying of itself in love. Statue of Perfect Man, 1962. Let's hurry along here. Well, now that's the way it is. Trying to manufacture Christianity. He's talking about a blackbird sticking peacock feathers in. It might work for a little while, but it ain't going to work for the whole time. You can't do it. The first thing you've got to do is be born again. You've got to be changed. And when you're changed, you become a new creation. Now you're getting right now. See, now you don't have to worry about the feathers. It'll take care of itself. When you are born again, yes, sir. Like I've always said, you take a hog, scrub him up and put a sailor suit on him, or tuxedo suit rather, and turn him out there. What's the first thing he's going to do? He's heading right to the mud hole again. Why? Because he's a pig. Because you see, it wouldn't do any good. He's a hog. That's his nature. Wallowing is his nature. You've got to change his nature, and the rest of it will take care of itself. Now notice, you must be born again. That is changed. There's got to be a change. You say, well, Brother Branham, I know this certain woman over here. Why, she never did anything wrong. She's a good woman. There's such and such a man. He's a good man. He never does anything. You know, he doesn't harm anybody. That doesn't mean one thing. He might make a good neighbor, but he isn't a Christian until he's born again.
Yes.
Amen. Sign, seal, and deliver that one. You're not a Christian until you're born again. You may be trying, and you may be trying to get there. You may be in sanctification or justification, but you are not bride. You're not in line for these virtues unless you're born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom. Now that means see means understand. So how are you going to understand, talk to somebody that ain't this unregenerated? They need to get born again. Don't talk to me if you're not. We can talk to you about you getting born again. Yeah, no doubt. Talk to you all day. Hours. If you really want to. What the problem is now, everybody wants to run their mouth but not be born again. You look at anything, say, I just don't see it. You mean you don't understand it. Why don't you understand it? Because the understander's not inside of you.
Amen.
One more time, if you put inside of you the man that wrote the Bible, he's got to be able to understand himself.
Yes,
amen? He's got to be able to respond to his own self. That's why it's so sure. He wrote it.
Yes.
He wrote it, made sure there were 66 books. They didn't add the book of this one or the book of that one or the book of Maccabees or there was a book of this or book of something. Right? He didn't add that. 66 books. He wrote 66 books. He put it right here. And like that old black man said, he said, I believe it from kibber to kibber. Even the giver's holy. That's what we believe, right? All right. So you look and say you don't understand it. Well, you can't understand the Bible if you don't have the one that wrote it inside of you. But if you've got the very author, if you've got the very author of the book dwelling inside of you, that's his eyes looking at what he's already wrote and responding, that ain't nothing but the truth. That's why even, you remember the story Brother Brown told about the old man that he'd start reading his Bible and he'd start shouting and speaking in tongues, stomping all over the place, and he lived with his daughter. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? Some of you may not have heard this because you ain't read the message long enough. Did I say that? Okay. So anyway, so this woman, she's got a dad. And this dad, just every time he reads the Bible, he starts weeping. He starts praising God. He starts shouting. He starts speaking in tongues. And he says, glory to God. She said, I got some people coming over and I got to do something with dad. She said, as long as he's got that Bible, he's going to act like that. Said, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give him a geography book. And say, Dad, go read this geography book. Don't take your Bible up there. Just take this geography book. So she gives him the geography book. He goes upstairs and he's all quiet for a little while. And all of her friends that Brother Brown says comes in with their little pinky sticking out, drinking their tea, you know, and talking about, you know, social life and all this stuff. All of a sudden they hear, woo, glory, woo. And she's like, I am so embarrassed. I'm sorry. Let me go see what my dad's doing. So she runs up there. She said, Dad, you don't even have the Bible. Said, you got a geography book. He said, yeah, but in this geography book, it says that they can't find the bottom of the sea. And he said, God told me that he was going to put my sins in the sea of God's forgetfulness. He said, they can't even find the bottom. And he said, I'm happy about it. So you can take a geography book, praise God, about it if you know what you're talking about. Amen. 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 That's how sometimes human knowledge is not very good. She should have put him up there with nothing. He probably would have still went, they silenced in heaven for a half an hour. Amen. 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have what? Obtained like precious faith. I'm going to read this again. I'm sorry. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be what? Multiplied. I like multiplication. I don't like division. Division takes money away from me. Addition gives it to me or multiplies it in the natural. But what about in the spiritual? Unto you through the knowledge of God, Jesus our Lord. According as he's given us divine nature, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, we're getting to the next step. And besides this, see, I've been stopping at verse 4. And besides this, giving all diligence. You know what that word diligence means? Haste. Forwardness. Earnest care. Carefulness. Haste. Earnestness in accomplishing, promoting, striving after anything. To give all diligence, interest oneself most earnestly. It's what you desire more than anything. It's what diligence is. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, the knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound. Here's to me, this is what I've been trying to get to. This is the promises you're going to get when we get to the top of that statue of a perfect man. For these things be in you and abound. Not just be in you, but abound. You've carried your cross. You've picked up virtue. You picked up knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. And the Holy Ghost is what? Well pleased. Yes. He's giving you the checkbook. He didn't give you the checkbook down here at the bottom. He gave you the check with his name on it. You get up to the very top where it says Holy Spirit up there. He's fixing to give you the checkbook and say, here, You write the check for what you need. You call for your kids. You call for your husband. You call for your wife. Well, what if it don't happen? What if it does? All right. Abound means what? Abundant. Make to increase. I like this one. I didn't know this was a word. To superabound of things. To exist in abundance. To increase. Be augmented. Made to increase. One other thing. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our problem. That's why we're so tossed about. Because we don't have these virtues working in our life. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Wow. And cannot see revelation or afar off. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That old man up in that attic didn't. He knew his was gone. They can't find the bottom of the sea. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. There's that word again. To make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, look, you shall never fall. Wow. That's a promise. Listen to this. Virtue has been defined as conformity of life and conduct with the principle of morality. Because remember, the word virtue is moral excellence or moral accomplishment. That's all the virtues, not that virtue right there. Remember, we're talking about the virtues. Okay? The virtues. Virtue has been defined as conformity of life and conduct with the principle of morality. The virtues are thus the practical attitude. Look. Attitude and habits adopted in obedience to those principles. In other words, renewing of your mind conformed to what God said, not what you think God said. Amen. A person of virtue, look, watch, I like this. I got this from the internet, sorry about that, but it was some religious scholar, and I read it, and I thought it was pretty nice, so I'm going to add it in here, okay? Let God put the power of the Holy Ghost in it so it'll tell you exactly what's going on. A person of virtue makes the progression from knowing what is right to doing what is right. Make you come to the cross. Now we're going to carry the cross. Amen. To doing what is right. He or she intentionally chooses what to say, do, and value. Reaching beyond the good toward the best. In every situation, a virtuous person knows that they have an opportunity to honor the Lord and reflect Him to others. Amen. I think that's a good definition of the virtues. Because you know what? It's not the virtues of a man on the earth. It's the virtues of God. Proverbs 12 verse 4 says, "The virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is the rottenness in his bone." Proverbs 31:10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Now, we're talking about, oh, you're talking about my wife? No, I'm talking about the bride. We're a woman. We're a wife. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. God trusting us with the word. Amen. Trusting us with the power.
Yes.
So that he shall have no need of spoil. Proverbs 10:9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his way shall be known. The Bible talks about walketh uprightly. That is virtuous living. All right, if you look it up. Psalms 5 verse 12 said, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." Look, wilt thou bless the what? Oh, there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, let me read that again. "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." The shield of virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. Psalms 55:22 says, "Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall," what? "Sustain thee. He shall never suffer the," what? Here we go again. "He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Listen, you're righteous in your soul if you're born again. Amen? Can't get any more eternal in your soul. But boy, you got that stinking thing called a spirit on the outside. Memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. That's what we're working on. Now, this is another version of 2 Peter, or another You know how well you have, Daddy's got 26 translations, and this is one of the translations. For this very reason, this is 2 Peter, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, patience, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection. Watch this, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective.
Amen.
And unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Webster's Dictionary says, virtue is moral excellence, value, merit, meritousness, worth, manly strength or courage, bravery, daring, spirit, valor, active quality or power, capacity or power, look, adequate to the production of a given effect.
Right.
Let's read that one more time. Capacity or power adequate to the production of a given effect. So in other words, a problem comes up in your life, you know how to handle it. You have effectively been able to handle it. You have been equipped with what it needs to take care of what's going on. Amen?
Amen.
Energy, strength, potency, efficacy as the virtue of a medicine. Energy. Our influence, that's virtues, not that one virtue. Virtues, that's all the virtues. They give you energy. Our influence operating without contact of the material or sensible substance. Specifically, moral excellence, integrity of character, purity of soul, performance of duty. Brother Bram in 1953 says, our Heavenly Father, here lays before me a bunch of handkerchiefs. They represent poor, sick, suffering people. One of these glorious days, it's all going to be over. And we're going to come to your house. God, help us to be in the deepest of sincerity now. Bless us now. I lay hands on these handkerchiefs. Thou knowest there's no virtue in any man, but the virtue. There's no virtue in the serpent nor in the brass that it was made out of. He's talking about the brass pole with a serpent on it. Or the pole that's hanging on. But the virtue was doing what God said do. The virtue was doing what God said do. There's no virtue in this right here. There's no virtue in these prayer cloths. But we know the power behind that. We're doing what God said do. We're taking the cloths and we're anointing them and we're sending them. And we've seen cancer heal. We've seen people's lives change. We've seen a lot of things. Brother Danny Fountain, where you at? Brother Danny, he believes in them probably more than anybody else does. It sustained him through a lot of stuff. And it'll sustain you. That's why I like to put prayer cloths. Anywhere you get in a new place or a new car or anything else, or you go to school, you need a prayer cloth. Amen? But you got to believe it's going to work. You can't just say, well, I got the prayer cloth. Now I just live any way I want to. Come on, somebody. The Shunammite woman went to Elijah, and Elijah took his staff, sent it to Gehazi. So we know the story. It's a safe time here. Some people touched the garment of Jesus and was made well. Others smacked him in the face and hit him in the head with sticks and spit in his face, never felt any virtue at all. It was their attitude of approach.
Amen.
Don't get quiet. It was their attitude of approach. It depends on what attitude you come in. If you come believing that you're coming to get help and you're confident that you're coming to the right person, Jesus Christ, not William Branham, and you're coming his provided way of approach, you're going to receive something if you come reverently. If you come, well, I go touch and I'll see if it helps me. That won't do any good at all. See, it's your approach to God's divine article is what does it. Just like the brass serpent. While the serpent don't have no virtue in it, it was a piece of brass they brought up out of Egypt. Neither did the pole have any virtue. Not a bit. But it was obeying what God said do. What brought the power, what brought the virtue is obedience to the word of God.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. That's your secret. How am I going to get these virtues, Brother Wade? It was obeying what God said do.
Amen.
What brought the power that brought the virtue is obedience to the word of God.
Amen.
Luke 6 verse 19 said, the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him or strength. Now that's what we're going to start talking about in just a little while. Next time we preach is that virtue that's right there, because that virtue is not being a virgin, that's having strength.
Yes. Right.
But remember, the prophet of God said you got to have it before you can give it out. Because remember, these virtues are given to you, but they're gifts that you give to people. Amen. Like I said before, if I'm sick and I'm really sick laying in the bed, I'm not going to call my neighbors who are homosexuals to pray for me. I'm sorry. I'm going to call my dad. I'm going to call my brothers. I'm going to call my sisters. Put it on WhatsApp. Put it on prayer list. Amen. That's why I feel the power, because of what? Their character. Those guys' characters against the word of God. So how are they going to have power? They're not. Luke 8, verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. In other words, she spent her living among physicians. Like I said before, that poor woman had not been able to go to church for 12 years. You say, how do you know? You can't enter a church in the congregation before Jesus died. The Old Testament said if the female was in her period time, blood flowing. You understand what I'm talking about? Adults, I know we do. She was unclean. Her husband couldn't touch her. Wherever she sat was unclean. Wherever she went, she could not go to church. She was in dire straits. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Immediately her issue of blood stanched. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter said they were with him, said, "Master, the multitude pressed thee and say, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." In other words, strength has gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people. Wow, what about that? She declared, "Look, I'm healed." Amen. Now listen, if she'd been that way 12 years, a lot of people knew what it was going on. A lot of people knew her. She was that woman that couldn't go to church. She was that woman that was unclean every day of her life for 12 years. She went to every physician and tried to get that to stop, but it would not stop. She met the great physician. She didn't meet a practicing physician. She met the great physician. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." She approached him. All the others maybe thought he was Beelzebub. All the others may have thought he was something else. In other words, trying to touch him, they're trying to smack him. They're trying to get rid of him. Get out of here. But she just crawled right up under the crowd. And those Pharisees are going, "Oh, she's unclean. Let's move out of her way." And that just gave her a clean path right to Jesus. And when his priestly garment went like this, when it went backwards, she just grabbed hold of it. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, if I could but touch some part of his robe, I know I'd be healed, my sins all forgiven. If I could but touch him, I know I'd be whole. Amen. You say, "Well, we don't have a garment to touch." You got brothers and sisters. You got a God that's in these people that have the new birth, and they have just as much right to pray for you as anybody does. Amen? You love the Lord? If I miss a name, just raise your hand, because I'm fixing to call some names. And listen, if you're sitting in this building and I call your name, you need to get born again. Sorry. Everybody with me? Don't get all drawn up. Timothy Darty, Hannah Dale, Kendrick Arline, Francis Gabriel, Cole Gabriel, Eric Marlowe, April Marlowe Meal, Jeffrey Stewart, Amy Stewart, Ashley Stewart, or whatever she is now. If I get the last name wrong, that's just me writing it down. We know who these people are. They're not here. They're not. Well, some of you will be when I get down to your name. And don't feel bad if I call your name, like I said before. Sterling and Callie Helm. Zach Dale. Anna Dale. Matt Dale. B.B. Dale. Josiah Canada. Olivia Canada. Grace Compton. Isn't that what I had? That was your last name? Am I right? Julie? Okay. Grace Compton. Tom McMillan. Cher Ali. And Sister Barbara, I couldn't remember all your kids' names, but all your children. You just name them yourself. You're good. You just name them yourself. Name them now. Call them out. Yep. Hmm? Silent, yep. Joseph Roberts. Frida's son. Isn't that his name? Joseph Roberts. Jenny Fallbush. Jay Fallbush. Scott. And Tyler. Don't forget them. Hope DeLong. Jacob Fountain. Robbie McFerrin. Nicole Roberts. Or whatever she is now. Myron Colley. Asa Compton. Sharon Sonart. Deborah Canada. Jonathan Canada. Ivan Moat. Gina Actionroth. Good to see you, Mark. Gina Actionroth. Little Mark. Arlena Actionroth. Jeremiah McFerrin. Paul McFerrin. Gwen McFerrin. Nate McFerrin. And Julie, you told me it, Brett, and what's your daughter's name? Gary. That's good enough. You named it. Not done yet. Deanna Dale. Danielle Dale. Harrison Grissom. Leah Dale. Chief Smallwood. Chris Hansen. And Lexi, I can't remember her last name, but she's Frida's granddaughter. If you got somebody else in your heart, raise your hand and we'll call their name. Sister. I was hoping you'd say that because I couldn't remember all of them. The McMillan crowd. Brother Colley?
Chris Jackson.
Exactly. Sister Julie? Forgot them, I'm sorry. And Dale. Yeah, and Mike. Susan?
Savannah.
Sister?
Arlene Bennett. Matt Quadros.
Mm-hmm.
Ariana Quadros.
Okay.
Scott Bennett.
Yes.
You know Scott.
I got it.
And then we've got Autumn. We've got
all the
grandkids. Yes.
We're at about 65 people right now. Where are we going to put them all when they come? Susan said she's scooting over. We'll want to sit side by side then, won't we, Brother John? Hmm? Oh, at Rebecca and Isaac. I'm sorry. I was just trying. I was writing them down fast as I could remember them last night. Someone else. Josh, who are you pointing to? Boy, who? Yes, Jaden. And the other little one, too. Yes, Debbie and Eddie. You say this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. I've gone too far. No. No. Unless you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you've not gone too far. I don't care what your situation is. The people we've called are our flesh and blood. Not somebody we know. We could name hundreds of people that we've met out in the world. Amen? That we really like. Ken Burnett. My buddy that's out in the world. I'd love to see him saved, but I'd rather see Hannah saved. I'm sorry. I'm selfish because she's mine. She's my blood. The Bible said you'll be there with your offsprings, not with your friends. We'd love for our friends to be there,
But he said he'd be there with your offspring. So as we go up this statue of perfect man, we're going to keep calling these names. You say, oh, we got a wall full of them right under me. I always pray for them when we're standing here in my own mind because they're right here on this wall. They're right here underneath us. All about right there. Of a plethora of people. But a lot of them are not kin. These people we called is somebody's kinfolks. Somebody's brother. Somebody's sister. Brother Collie?
Yeah, remember Gene after dad, Chris.
All right. Mm-hmm. And your brother, Rigamoto. Denmore. See, we remember these. What are you saying, Brother Wade? We remember these lot. These people on this list have been in this church one time or another. And man, I'm pretty sure that everybody's walked in this door a time or two in their life. And I'm sorry if some of you are sitting here now, but you ain't here all the time, so that means you ain't born again. Sister Johnny, she don't need salvation, but these are people who need salvation. Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right. And I like to pray for Micah, too. Micah's okay, but y'all are entering into a phase of your life that they're looking at being together. But these people need salvation, folks. They've been here. They've darkened these doors, and now they're not here. Yeah, just think about that. I know it's a solemn time, but think about it. Do you want to leave them? Do you want to leave these people here? If these people are left here, it is hell on earth for at least 3.5 years. That they're going to have to go 3.5 years of hell. And then they got to go through a white throne judgment and give an account of why they didn't accept God. I'm sorry if this is in your face. I'm sorry if this is something you don't believe. If you think you're born again on this list, you come and talk to me. Okay? But on this list, I'm telling you, I started last night. I got up from there, and the Lord impressed. He said, just go write down what you remember. And you say, well, if it had been God, he'd have brought everyone to your memory. I'm still a human. All right? I wanted you to call their name, maybe. God wants you to call their name, bring it to their attention, not mine. Amen? So if you got somebody, flesh and blood, they've never been, I believe if they're on this list, they've not went too far. You say, I don't want to know what you think. You can make an excuse for every one of these people on this list. Why make excuses? Put them in the hand of God. I'm keeping this list. It's going to be in my Bible. And I'm going to take them out and read them every once in a while. And when I read them, I'm going to say, God, you promised. You promised. This is my people. This is your people. And they're crying out for this to happen. Crying out for this to happen. Let's make it happen. Live your life in front of them so that it can happen. Let's stand to our feet. There's no power that'll hold them back except their self. Except their self. Musicians, come on, let's sing a song. If you have a need, I think it's come down to a time now to, I'm going to see things happen. We're going to see things happen. We're going to see God change our life, change what we're doing, change what we're saying, change our life for the better, because this Bible didn't say he was going to change it for the worse. It said he was going to change it for the better. So we want a better thing. We want a better. Everybody in the world wants something better. And they're trying to do it with, well, you can drink Diet Coke, and it's diet, and it won't have so much sugar in it. Yeah, but the stuff you put in it is killing them. Man's trying, what has Brother Ram said? Every time man's tried to do something to advance, he kills us. Created gunpowder. Created a car. A car kills more people than any disease. Y'all know that, right? A car. Driving a car, having a wreck. will kill more people than any disease, one disease in the United States is killed by a car wreck. But are we going to all get rid of our cars and start driving bicycles? No, somebody would hit us on a bicycle and kill us. Amen? I'm kind of like that guy that used to work for me, John. I said, John, you need to quit smoking. And he did finally die of lung cancer. But I said, you guys need to quit smoking and start doing better. He said, it'd be my luck. He said, I'd quit smoking and I'd get a bicycle and I'd be riding down the road and somebody smoking a cigarette and drinking a beer would hit me and kill me. So we ain't like that. God said he would do what he would do. We got to put forth a little bit of effort. Get you a bicycle. A vehicle. This won't kill you. Oh, Brother Branham, I need some insurance. No, you need some assurance. Assurance is going to get us out of here. Insurance might cover if we get out of here a little early. It'll help our in-laws or our family. That's about it. What more, though, is to get a policy of eternal life. A policy of eternal life. And you're able to hand it to your kids. You're able to hand it to your wayward husband. I'm with you. These people, like I said one more time, they've been among us and now they've drifted away. Why have they drifted away? I don't know. Maybe it wasn't their time. Maybe we said something or did something that hindered their walk. I pray to God that we don't stand in anybody's way anymore. But I'll promise you, if we go up that statue of a perfect man and we all come to these virtues, there is no way we can be a stumbling block to the unbeliever. I read you the quote, Brother Brown said, the reason we're a stumbling block to the unbelievers, we don't have these virtues working in our life. But if we have these virtues working in our life, it's not a stumbling block. It's a building block. Amen? Let's sing a song. God bless you.
The love of God, yes, sir, is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond.
He's calling for the elders of the church.
The highest star.
To pray the prayer of faith, Brother Darty, come on. Any of you brothers, Brother Kern, all you brothers come up here if you want to. Brother Danny, different one. Brother Boyd. Our brother has a need. And we're going to ask God to take care of that need. And we're going to bind together. Listen, as men, as Brother Branham said one time, he said that sister entered into that other sister because she had a child that was sick and this one had a child that was sick. Right? So we're going to enter in because he has a problem, an issue that we men could face sometime in the near future. Amen? So we're going to enter in with him, pray the prayer of faith, and we're going to see God move. Let me have your hands. Let's lay our hands on our brother. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our brother comes, Lord, asking, as the Scripture says, to call for the elders of the church and that they would pray the prayer of faith, Lord, and our brother will be healed. Father, we don't want you just patch him up, Lord. We want you to make a new, Lord. We want you to make this thing go away, Lord. It's been bothering him for all this time. Lord, you told us that if we lay hands on the sick, that they shall recover. And all these promises that we have, Lord, they're, Lord, yea and amen. And Father, nothing is negative. Everything is positive. Our brother wants to be able to come back to church, Lord, and wants to be able to fellowship with the brethren, Lord. And we're praying now, Lord, for also for his family, Lord, the different ones. Father, we pray that you just touch their heart, Lord. Let them see a miracle in our brother's life, Lord. Let him see a miracle that you've touched his body, Lord. Now I pray, Lord, that you'd be with each one of us and bless us. Everyone that's standing up here, we've all got issues, Lord. We're human beings. We're men, Lord, that have different things, Lord. And we know the sisters have different things also. But, Lord, we're crying out now, Lord, for our bodies to be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You just believe it. Go on. Don't look back. Nobody look back. Keep going forward. Keep going forward.
Redeeming grace to add.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, our brother. Wonderful brother, Lord, here in the church, Lord. We're going to miss him while he's gone, but Lord, we pray that you would be his help in the time of any trouble, Lord. If he's flying, Lord, we pray that you'd help the flight, Lord. That you'll help, Lord, him go through security and customs, Lord. May it be a smooth operation. And whatever he's got to do, Lord, may it be smooth, Lord. And Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will comfort him while he's there, away from his family, Lord. And that you'll bring him back, Lord, together with his family, and then come back to the church family, Lord. And there'll be a testimony that everything went just smooth, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, man. We'll be praying for you. Amen. Okay. The ocean feet. Think about that. How impossible. Our sister stands in need of you, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, whatever's binding our sister, Lord, we pray that you'll loose that thing, Lord. And that she'll be free from this, Lord. Number one, Lord, she's like me. She's not free from herself. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just destroy her, Lord. Destroy her old character, Lord. And bring, Lord, the Spirit of God into our sister's heart, Lord. And that you'll bless her, Lord, and give her strength, Father. That you'll be with her in a time of trouble, Lord. That you'll comfort her, Lord, when it gets dark and dreary, Lord. That there'll be a light come into the room and whirl around her head, Father. That'll say, hey, I'm here. I'm here to take care of you. Lord, this in the name of Jesus we pray, Lord. That you'll comfort her, Lord, and be with her, Lord. Bless her, Father. Give her the Holy Ghost, Lord. Just comfort her, Lord. Just saturate her, Lord. Just be with her and bless her, Lord. Whatever she does, may it be done for your honor and glory, Lord. And may she go forward from here, Lord, feeling better and doing better. Even the physical part of her life, Lord, we all get older. And things are happening, Lord. Our body's changing. Lord, we pray that you'd put everything back the way it needs to be, Lord. And that she'll have no problems with that issue anymore, Lord. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Go forward. Forward. Move forward. Oh, my word.
And were the skies of parchment made.
Your Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that there be nothing broke. Lord, we know that a little bruise, Lord, is just part of life. But, Lord, may you comfort her, Lord. Take that pain away from her, Father. Satan is trying to trip her up and disrupt the service, Lord. But we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you'll take that away from her, Lord. There won't even be a bruise there, Lord. And that she'll be just fine, Father. I pray that you'd just touch her little life, Lord. And that she'll be, Lord, a light that'll shine in front of her family, Lord. And you'll bless her, Lord. She's a sweetheart, Lord, and we love her. We thank you for all these things you give us, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name that you'll comfort her. Amen. Amen? Okay. It's good. Listen to this song. It drained the ocean dry. And could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky? We haven't even tapped into what God's given us. Let's tap into it now. And strong.
Told about that song that one or two of the verses, remember, they were written on the wall of an insane asylum. You look at all the trees in this world,
if every one of them was a quail. If every tree, for those of you that don't know it, that are younger, a quail means a pen, an ink pen. Okay? So if every tree you see, just in your little community, was an ink pen, and you walk outside, and you look from that horizon to that horizon, and then it goes all the way around the world. It don't just stop with your vision. It goes all the way around. If that was a scroll that we could open up, and every drop of water, four-fifths of this earth is water. If it was all ink, and we took that quill and we dropped every one of them in that ink, and we started writing, it could not even start telling us about the love of God. It would be so marvelous. So next time you go outside, look up in the sky and start writing. Start writing your kid's name, your husband's name, your wife's name. Because the love of God is what's going to give them to you. Not just you, it's the love of God inside of you is what's going to give them to you. You love God?
Amen.
Oh, love of God, how rich and pure. Think about it. You think, man, I got these problems that if all of us give God these problems at the same time, he might not can handle them. That's the devil talking. If every drop of water was ink, come on, people, look at the enormity of that. Every star, they say there's billions of stars and some they can't even count. God knows every one of them by name. He knows the day he makes them, and he knows the name of them. Every one of them. He knows every person that ever lived on this earth, starting from Adam to today, and names them all by name. How are we going to exhaust him? How are we going to make him tired? How are we going to make this word not work? This word will work whether you want it to or not. I'm telling you, you will not ever hinder God's word.
Amen.
You say, oh, yeah, well, yeah, you can temporarily hinder it, yes. But you're not going to hinder the program of God. Somebody's going to make it. Somebody's going to come to the body change. Somebody's going to be able to, all these things are going to work in their life. Somebody's going to stand one day and say, Death, you have reigned for 6,000 years. And there was one man 2,000 years ago that stood and said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. That man now lives in me. And you have no hold on me. Boy, that ought to make you happy. Make an old man happy. Remember Brother Bob on Wednesday night. He loved you with the love of the Lord. Just pray for us. You keep calling those people's names. You say, I don't. Stop it. Call their name. Call their name. I miss them. I ain't seen Myron and Timothy in probably 20 years. They done grown, I'm guess. Are they married? Not married?
More than once.
I don't care. It don't matter. That makes no difference to God. Listen, marriage and divorce is not a salvation issue. You can get saved if you've been married 24 times. Ask the woman at the well. Preach it, Brother Wade. All these high and mighty pious, oh, if you've not been married, if you've been married only